This is an interview in the Black Heritage Project taking place on July 20, 1990. The interviewer is W.J. Meginson, and we're talking at the home of our interviewee. Your name is?
Laura Keasley.
And your address?
Route 214 Keasley Circle. That's Anderson.
Right, and you're just out from the LaFrance Industries.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, if I may ask, when you were born?
I was born May 23rd, 1912.
Where were you born?
Here, on this estate.
There is a big house next door. That was yours, I take it?
No, it was an elderly house which has fallen in below that, down near the Lee Branch at that time. My dad built this house there, and we moved there, and that's where then, in and out, I got married.
I imagine you were born at home?
Yes.
Do you know if there was a midwife?
Midwife, yes, I think, yeah.
By any chance know her name?
What was the lady name? Laura. I believe her name was Laura. Laura Banks, I believe it was.
What were your parents' names, your father first?
My dad was named Elijah Walker. My mother's name, Anna Amelia Walker.
What was her maiden name?
Cummins.
Do you have any idea who your father's parents were?
Yeah, my father, I know his parents. Yeah, his parents was Larkin Walker and Sarah Walker.
Were they from right around here?
The mother, the wife wasn't, Sarah wasn't. She was from down the lower part of the country. She was a white before she married.
And your grandfather Larkin?
Larkin, I don't know his parents.
Was he from this immediate area, or do you
know? As far as I know of.
Do you have any idea first when your father Elijah was born?
Back in the 18 and what? I'd have to get the Bible to show to tell you. Just leave that blank, I'll get the Bible.
Okay, if you have one, we'll look at that later on after we take a break and change the tape. Was Larkin a slave?
Yeah, must have been coming out kind of then at that time. He wasn't, because he came up and I think he was about the father of about 14 or 15 children.
Mm. Sounds like a lot. Do you have all their names in the Bible?
Yes.
Okay, well, we'll read those off later if you don't mind.
Uh-huh.
Do you know who he had worked for?
No, he was always a farm. I don't know who he worked for at that time.
And do you have any idea where he got the name Walker?
No.
And how your grandmother found her way up to this part of the state?
That's it. I don't know. How she found her way up this part of the state. I don't know whether he was down that way as a slave or something, and then when they got married, they came on up, this part of the state. Might have come up with some of the former. Now, some of them, since I got old, I don't remember as well as I did. But anyway, there were some people that owned all of this property around here. They came up and they solicited this, part of the property, my dad and his brother.
Did your father own the property?
Yes, he owned this property, 50 acres, 50-something acres.
Do you have any idea how he was able to afford that much? That was a fair amount of land for most people.
Well, I don't know. He farmed, and that's how they came along.
I presume he must, for that much land, have had people working for him.
Well, 50 acres, no, this sold down part of it, I guess, and then they raised a lot of cotton at that time, or maybe they had some people coming in picking cotton or something like that.
Did you have to do much cotton picking when you were a child?
I was the youngest one. I didn't do much of it.
Your older brothers and sisters did.
Older brothers and sisters, they worked on the farm. I was the youngest.
Apparently cotton was a very difficult crop because often you didn't get much money for it.
No, you didn't get too much money for it. So, guess that at that time when my father quit farming, he quit, cultivating and planting cotton.
So he turned to something else?
He turned it into maybe other wheat and oats and hogs and cows and different things like that.
Have any idea where your father took his cotton to sell it?
Pendleton Oil Mill.
They pay a good price, or do you have any idea?
Well, to my remembrance, I don't know, it was a fair price, to get along. My father, he was a great farmer, and he had three boys. It was three boys of the family, and two of them was older, and they really worked on the farm until they got, 19 years old, 20 years old, and then they went out on their own.
Do any more of the family live right around here now?
My brother lives out there in the old family state house.
What is his name?
Christopher Walker.
Did he continue in the farming, or did he do something else?
No, he left and went away after he got up in his later teens.
But then later on came back?
Well, just to retire back here.
Where did he go, and what did he do in the meantime?
He went away in Greenwood first and worked, and then he left there and went to Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So that's where he stayed until he retired and came back here.
Was he working in any of the factories up there still?
He was working. He was working first in a milk dairy. I know that. And then he went to work as a maintenance in the supervisor in the housing projects.
Also in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Housing tenants proper, tenant, not the building of it, but the tenant. He taking care of the tenant.
Let's go back to your mother. I believe her name was Anna Amelia. Do you know her parents' names?
Yes, I knew her parents' name. Her mother's name, Mariah Cummings. I don't know her maiden name, though. Let's see. I don't remember my main name right now. And her husband was oh boy, I can't think of his name now.
That may turn up in your battle, too.
Yeah.
Were they your Cummings grandparents from around here as well?
No, he came from down Charleston, up this side.
Mm-hmm.
That's where his former home was down there. I don't know where he came from before that, but anyway, he was from down the lower states, down in Charleston. Came up this side.
Before or after the Civil War?
It must have been, I guess, after, I guess, most likely.
Well, this is interesting. Several of your grandparents migrated to here from farther south.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Did your grandmother Mariah come from the Charleston area, too?
Now, I don't know. I was born when she was living, and I didn't really talk about her too much. My mother didn't know her too much. I just knew her name.
Did you, in fact, know any of your grandparents?
Yes. I knew the Cummins, I can't think of it. I don't know why I can't think of it, because he was blind. I used to lead him around.
Did you know your Walker grandparents?
Yeah, Larkin Walker. And I knew the Sarah Walker, both of them. I remember them.
Frequently, youngest children don't get to know their grandparents.
No. He had passed on, but she was living, and I knew her well.
Just up the road from you is New Hope Baptist Church.
Yes.
Were your family involved with that church?
No. In this community, they had a church. It was down the lower part of the road down here. It was Mount Tabor
mm-hmm.
Church. Well, that was where they, was close to, but we had a church right next to Mount Tabor, which was new, was Holly Spring Baptist Church. And that's where that we attended until this church was built up here.
Do Mount Tabor and Holly Spring still exist?
Yes. No, not Holly Spring. Mount Tabor's still there. We built up this side. At that time, they had a lot of farmers and different things down in Antennas. And we have a big tenants down there. But after most of the people moved from those farms and things, it wasn't any families down there too much. And so we moved it up in the area where people own their own property and thing. You know, it was near there.
Was Mount Tabor a Baptist church also?
That was a white church.
Oh, that was white.
Yeah.
Sounds like you were well supplied with churches all around you.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Did Holly Springs have its own cemetery? I know.
Own cemetery.
And
it's
are some of your
there.
Kinfolk
yeah.
there?
Yeah, my parents are there.
Is that out on 187 or?
Yes, on 187, just about a mile and a half down the road. The cemetery.
Toward Pendleton or toward?
No, towards 85.
The church, you say, is no longer there.
No longer there. No,
is the cemetery kept up?
Kept up. Pretty good.
That's good.
Yeah.
You said a lot
it's
of...
still buried there, so it's cleaned off. Get someone to clean it off a couple of times a year. And then keep it up. It's well kept up.
You said a lot of the people from around the church moved away. What caused that?
Well, they just quit farming, you know, and the children grew up, the families grew up, they moved and left to different cities and whatnot, you know, at that time, you know.
You talked about your grandfather Cummings being blind. What do you remember about your grandfather Larkin?
No, I don't remember him at all. I don't remember him. I remember Sarah,
and
his wife.
Tell us about her, if you will.
Well, when he died, well, she was getting up in age, and one of her granddaughters that she raised was in Pennsylvania, so she used to go from one of the children to the other around, you know, just stay with this one and that one and the others around. But she went to Pennsylvania up in Pittsburgh, and she stayed there with her granddaughter until she died, and they brought her body back here.
When you were growing up, did your parents and grandparents talk much about older days?
My mother did quite a bit, you know, as I remember. You know, she talked about, you know, back older days. But,
remember any of her stories?
Well, I guess she had quite a few because, you know, taking care. Well, it was 11 children, but 7 lived to get, you know, she always talked about, you know, she's through the community. She would go and different things, you know, and help other people out. And they were sick. She was a great worker for sick people. Even right up, like, they, if someone of them got sick or something like that, they'd always call her and ask her if there was anything she could do for them, you know, just old remedy, home remedy. She did a lot of good for different ones in the community.
Would she go and stay with them, or?
If she had to, she'd stay all night with them, trying to help them out. You know, and she has a lot of children, you know.
Where do you think she learned these remedies?
Well, she had 7 children, and I guess, you know, at that time, you know, you didn't have much money to go to the doctors and things like that. So she worked on all of us, me too. And I remember that well. I had pneumonia a couple of times, and she cured it of me.
What did she do for your pneumonia?
She would make up her different little plasters and put on the top plasters and turpentine in it and all kind of the stuff in it.
Doesn't sound very pleasant.
And she'd go and get mint from the garden. She had had a bed of mints in the garden. And she would go and she would get those mints and crush it up and put it in the water, put it in the, where it would get cool, you know, no refrigerators at that time. And, we would have to drink that, you know, and that would keep the fever down. Then it was a little weed, I remember, as I had fever once, and she cured me of that. It was her little weed that grew outside of the wood out there, and it was called fever weed. And she would go out and get that and crush it and put it in water, and I had to drink it. And I was bad about having fevers because I would always slip out and maybe get something from the garden, a tomato or a cucumber or something other, and eat it. It's hot weather, and we would go and attend the cows maybe out somewhere, and me and my younger brother, and we'd get into the watermelon patch, and we'd crack a watermelon and eat that, and it was hot. I came up with the fever. I can remember that well.
Do you remember any of her other remedies and herbs?
Nothing but the, those are the main herbs, the main ones she used, and onions. I knew she would take onions, you know, and crush them and make a poultice out of it, like, and put it on me, you know, on my lungs and my chest and everything. She kept me going.
Do you think she would have learned these from her mother, Mariah?
I'm sure a lot of it came from her, yeah.
What about doctors? Were there any doctors around?
Yes. We had two doctors in Pelton. Listen, one doctor, Dr. Horton in Pelton. He was a doctor there for at that time.
A white man?
Yeah, a white doctor.
Would he come out to visit, or did
yeah,
you?
Yeah, he'd come to visit me, and he came by. I remember so well, he told me, well, I don't know. You just have to do what you can for this child, because I don't know. She just burned up with the typhoid fever, you know. And my mother started working on me. And then when he came back, well, I had a relapse of measles, too. I was always catching something. And when he came back, well, I was doing much better. He said, what did you do for this child? He was really surprised to see me living. But anyway, I lived. She had a thermometer. She bought a thermometer and everything, you know, and she tested to see how the fever was.
You said four of your brothers and sisters didn't live.
Yeah, it was four. Some died, a couple of died at baby childbirth, and then she lost a couple of them. One died at 4 years old. Ate a lot of green apples, got out in the tree. Under the tree, she and my sister, and she ate a lot of green apples, and it killed her.
We've heard a lot from different people about the impact of the Spanish flu epidemic.
Oh, yeah. I remember when all of us, I was in that, too. I think all of us were sick with that. Excuse me, just 1 minute.
Sure. We were talking about the Spanish flu.
That was, old people died. I remember that well. Families, everybody was just sick, you know, in bed with this flu, and people died from it. A lot of people died from it. My mother had her hands full at home with all of us, you know, trying to cure us of it, but we all made it through.
Did most of your brothers and sisters and you all get it?
All of us had it except my dad and my oldest brother.
But all of your immediate family survived.
Oh, I'm not gonna bother with that. I'm just gonna let it rain.
All of your immediate family survived the flu.
Yeah, all of them survived with it. Mm-hmm.
Did other uncles, aunts, cousins, whatever, die from the flu epidemic?
Oh yes, different ones that are, you know, the families of cousins. You know, I can remember a couple of them died with that flu.
You would have been pretty young, but obviously
I was real young. I must have been about 7, 8 years old, but I can remember well when we had it. All of us were sick with it. One couldn't wait on another one. Mm-hmm.
And did your mother ever have it herself?
No. They had something like asphyxiate. When something came through like that, she would put the asphyxiate in a little cloth or something other and put it around her neck. Even if she went to see somebody and it was kind of epidemic, well, she would put this around and that, but they claimed that was, I guess, absorb the flu, whatever they had or something like that, those things.
Your mother seems to be very involved in helping people who are ill. Did she do any midwifing herself?
No, not too much, not herself. I remember her once going to someone, but she just went to, you know, help her out, you know. Mm-hmm. Somebody else was the midwife.
You were talking just a few moments ago about all the things you had, watermelons, tomatoes, and so forth.
Oh, yeah, we had something of everything that could grow on the farm. My dad was a big farmer. He raised food for us. You know, we had plenty of food. I never knew to be without food or nothing like that.
Were you able to produce everything you needed, or did you have to do any grocery shopping?
Very little. Very little. Something like, maybe kitchen things like cheese or something like that. We had plenty. We had turkeys, Guinness, everything of that type, you know.
Well, if you needed things like flour or sugar or coffee, where would you go for that?
My daddy got it. He would go and he raised plenty of wheat.
Mm-hmm.
And he would take it to the mill and have it ground for flour. He'd take the corn and have it ground for meal. And what else? That's everything. We raised everything. Peanuts, popcorn, everything. All of that stuff. We had it on the farm.
So you produced just about everything you all ate.
That's right.
If you had to buy something, whatever.
Meats. We had meats. My dad killed a beef a certain time of year, you know, and he would kill that up, you know. My mother was a great canner. And he would can that and would preserve the hog meat up, you know, and have that from one year to the other.
Did you also slaughter beef?
Yeah.
And I assume with all those kids there must have been dairy cows.
Well, yeah, we had a couple of milk cows, I call them. We had them. We had horses. And we had just everything that you could have on a farm. I've never known me or the family either one to go hungry or nothing like that. We had our own butter from the cows and everything.
For cheese, did you have meat most days?
Meat, yeah. We had bacon from the hogs, and my mother would can the sausage, you know. And
must have been quite a large table for all the family to sit
around.
Yeah,
that's right.
And it sounds like all of you have been scattered. Did your mother use a dinner bell?
Mm-hmm. No, sometimes if they was out working in the field, kind of off like that, she had a bell. She would ring it, you know, when meal time was ready. But after they got up, you know, some side, they knew when they got home, they was coming in or got a hot up in the day, you see. My dad, you know, I mean, it wasn't like working out for somebody else, you know. My dad was always a self-farmer, you know. And he didn't rent, not as far as I know of him. He maybe in the beginning he did, but he soon got this place, and we had it ever since, taking very care of it, kept it up so that it wouldn't nothing. No loans or nothing come upon it, so it's a free. It's after his death and my mother's death, we divided and gave everybody their part of it. That's how I'm here.
It sounded, from what you said before, like many of the other people around here own their own land as well.
They did. Joining us, they own theirs right next door over here and up here. And some of them lost theirs.
So many people, black and white, either rented or sharecropped. Why do you think in this area all of you were able to get your land so much?
What, the sharecrop? Well, 50 acres wasn't too bad, you know. That wasn't too much, you know. Some of it's in woods, you know.
Well, how was it that the people in this community were able to buy their land when people elsewhere didn't have that same degree of success?
Well, I don't know. I guess my dad was just a great provider, I guess, and he never worked out, was hired out, you know. He just was a great provider, and I guess every when he'd make his crop, you know, he'd make sure he'd take care of his bills and things, and fertilizer and all came from the mill up there.
Would he buy things like fertilizer on credit?
Yeah, he'd get it on credit when he get his farm up and take the cotton and thing, then he'd settle for that fertilizer, you know. I remember that well.
You said he was a great provider. Your mother had to have been a great provider to get food on the table for everybody.
Oh, she was. She was wonderful. She could cook and make you want to eat your head off. One of them old-time cooks. She was a good one, you know, to turn things around, you know, and have plenty for the children.
Did some of the children, I imagine, have to help her prepare the food?
Not necessarily, unless it was someone coming in or something like that, you know, for dinner or something like that.
So she did most of the cooking herself?
She did all most of the cooking herself.
Well, did you as a child learn how to cook from her?
I learned from her. Very much.
What were some of her special dishes?
Well, we raised her. She canned every kind of vegetable it was, she canned it. You know, and she made soups in the jars and everything, and she just going to get the half a gallon jars and open them up, you know, and maybe fix a vegetable with it. She was a good, beautiful cake maker and cookies. And we always had something to nibble around on. When I hear people talk about, you know, some people talk about how they came through, you know, and they didn't have nothing. I don't know anything about it. I mean, you know, my dad was just a good provider, and she was too.
What would have been a typical Sunday dinner?
Oh, it was wonderful. She would invite someone out if it was at the church from some other place. And maybe the minister and his wife or his family, and they would come out and they'd have a big dinner. Chickens, we had plenty of chickens. Turkeys, guineas, all over the place. So she'd make a good dinner right from home then.
Did she ever serve more than one meat at a meal?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. We cured hams, and sometimes she would have ham as a side meal, and then we would have plenty of chickens. So she'd kill a couple of hens and bake them, or either fry some chickens, or I had to pick a lot of chickens.
You're talking about the cakes and things. Did you always have desserts?
Yes. Always these big cobbler pies, you know.
If you want to fix one, I'll stay with you for lunch.
Cobbler pies. Homemade cobbler pies. It was wonderful. I really adhere my parents, you know. Think about them a lot, you know, how they worked and provided for us like that.
Well, did your other family around or your grandparents often eat with you?
Yeah, anytime they came around. You know, that was just normal, you know. When somebody was at somebody's house at that time, they had a good many children. I had one of my father's sister had 16 children, I think it was. 16, yeah, 16. And if you was there around or something, when they fix for their family, they fix for you too. You'd eat too.
So you also had lots of cousins to play with besides
oh,
your brothers
yeah.
and sisters.
Our family's a big family, Walker's up.
With all of these children, clothes obviously had to be a
My mother
problem.
Sewed.
She sewed. For the girls or the boys or
boys,
both?
Girls and boys. I heard her say she made pants for the boys and get this material, I guess, in the fall of the year, like when they had money, you know, different to put it down, and she sold for them. They didn't have a lot of clothes. They had maybe said a couple of Sundays, they call them Sunday clothes, and then after then they wore the overalls or something like that. She made them, you know.
Do you have any idea where she'd buy the cloth?
No, I know it's where my clothes come from, because after I was born. She had a niece. My mother had a niece that worked for a couple and their brother and the sister lived kind of in a big house in Anderson down there. They had something like where to go and shower the mules and things like that. My mother had a niece that worked there. And she, when she went into town, she would always take a big bag of garden stuff or something like that, fresh garden stuff, to these people where she worked at. And they just thought so much of her. So when my mother was carrying me, they told her, if it's a girl, so name her from us. And so they did. That's where I got my name from. And I used to go down there, and she worked in a store in Ephraim. And she worked in there. So she would tell me, Laura Louise, you see something over there you like? Well, I was small, you know, a kid like that. So whatever I touched, well, that's where she cut a piece off of me, a dress. Something like that. And I caught clothes from her brother's wife, you know, brother's children.
It sounds like your family was much more likely to shop in Anderson than in Pendleton.
Yeah, they went to Pendleton, you know, occasionally. More, because that was close. And you was going by both the mule and buggy, you know. And when we went into Anderson, where you see that was just special occasions, she'd go down there, like in when she had something from the garden, and she'd take them stuff down there.
Either trip must have taken a fair while going by mule and buggy.
Yeah, I remember riding with them, you know. They would always take me along. I was the youngest, so I got all the cake and pie.
You don't sound deprived as a child.
Not at all.
What types of chores would you have to do as a young girl?
Me? A girl. I had the different chores to do, such as sometimes feeding, throwing feed into the chickens, or sweeping the yard, you know, you had to keep everything clean around, sweeping the yards, doing something like that.
Would you usually be the one to feed the chicken and sweep the yard, or would that be swapped up among the other brothers and sisters?
No, at that time, my sisters, when I had all those different girls, my sisters and those had married, and they was out there they self. My brother, he had gone back. He lacked in a year, I think, in finishing high school, so he went down to Belton, down here to high school, and then he went on into college, and he finished college, and the other one, he left and he went up to Pennsylvania. So that left my dad working the farm himself, so he did have to have someone to come in at that time and sharecrop, because it was a little bit too much for him.
Do you by any chance remember who that would have been?
Well, a different one, R. D. Gamble and his wife and family. They came and we had moved here in this house, and they were living in our first house down. And then another couple, they lived down there, his nephew, Will Walker, and his family. This different one lived there a couple of years and things like that.
Where did your brother go to school? You said he went to college.
Orangeburg State College. He finished there.
What did he do his work in?
He went back out in the field of agriculture.
Farming, or as an extension agent?
Extension agent.
For Clemson?
From Clemson, he worked down in the lower part, though. He worked down in